Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
If we ever got to Sirius XM or anything like that where we could say anything we want to say, this was definitely a conversation to be had. Because there is some education to a lot of these things. Your perspective, my experience, like there's a lot of things that we could just meld together. And it's stuff that just can never be really shared, unfortunately.
I'm telling you, man, listen, BET had BET Uncut. Like, why can't we have Disney After Dark?
Disney does not want After Dark.
Disney After Dark.
Disney prefers
It's time for us to start competing with Howard Stern and all that stuff with those type of conversations we can have. We can get us a little version of Beetlejuice.
Howard Stern's actually not happy that when he goes to games at the Garden, in his words, the black players don't say hi to him. Did you see that?
Hey, man, you got $500 million twice. Who cares who speaks to who?
He just wanted to be recognized. He feels like guys come up to like Chris Rock and Spike and say hi to them. He's like, I'm sitting right next to him. They don't come say hi to me.
That's because he's on XM. Like if he was,
they don't know who he is. They don't know who Howard Stern is.
Yes,
the king of all media.
Yo, ask some of these guys, man. Like I forgot who they asked. Some of these young players. Remember they had the basketball players and they play basketball and they didn't know who they were. Remember they were asking them.
Yeah,
it was like who's this? Yeah. Like you gotta understand these kids. Howard Stern was hot in the early 2000s. These dudes weren't even born.
I do think there is something to be said about
he needs
that.
To be on TV. If he's back still on E,
you gotta know
you can watch
your audience.
Yes. Yeah. If he was still on E and he had the Dorf and Beetlejuice was still on there and you had them funny like clips. Could you imagine the clips that Howard Stern – he had a Drunken Dorf. He had the Drunken Dorf.
Little person. Right. Okay.
No, it's called – Dorf is still a real thing. Yep. Like you can't say the M word. You can't say the it word.
Okay.
But Dorf is still a thing. Dorfism is a real term.
Right.
So what I'm saying is if could you imagine like – the Instagram clips we would have had when he used to have like Beetlejuice drunk sitting there, the door falling out drunk inside the studio, like his stuff would be classic. It would be classic, and
it would
I guarantee viral. Everybody would know about Howard Stern.
So Howard Stern needs to be on TikTok. You're saying, and
yes.
Then everybody would know who he is.
Yes,
because he did some funny stuff now.
Yes, but we don't know
all of his bits.
You can't see
like
that visually,
fart
though.
Man. Like if all that stuff was on TikTok right now, he'd be.
It would be on fire.
That generation would know who he is.
He might have to do a 30 for 20, you know what I'm saying, so that he can come back like MJ so he can tell the new school people who he is and why
Howard
he won.
Howard Stern's last dance.
Right.
Okay. Whatever works, man. I don't know. I don't know.
That's
how
why. Nobody knows because we talk about our office.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about
conversations.
Things that we were just discussing.
Well, we just noticed that Kim K was at both games. That's all.
We did. And
checking on Tristan Thompson, making sure he ain't got no scallywags up in the thing on his sister.
Or scouting.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that goes on too.
Like I say all the time, man, nobody has affected the black athlete like the Kardashian and Jenner family. Like their imprint is all over the world. Chris Humphries, we ain't heard from Chris Humphries.
Don't need to.
Yeah, you know, ruined that man's life. No,
it did not. It did not ruin his life.
He can't come. We're gonna come back now. Like we ain't seen
what
no hurt.
Come
Chris
back
Humphries.
For. He's living comfortably and happily.
He probably was playing. He probably paying alimony because he had more money than her back in the day. Now she a billionaire. I'm like, I need that money back.
No chance.
Hell no. All that money I paid you, you used
me.
Reggie Bush, you used me.
And everybody listening as well, I want you guys to answer this question at Barton Hunt because this happened to me. So now you and I worked together a long time.
Yeah.
You tend to make comments about my appearance a lot, which is fine. And actually, don't mind it at all.
Yeah,
would you ever think that I would look like Chris Humphries?
Chris Humphries?
Yeah.
Chris Humphries wasn't a bad looking guy. You know
I'm
what
not saying he was. I'm just saying, if you looked at me, would you could you have mistaken me?
I can never mistake. He had the Ronnie Cycles Magnum PI curly hair.
He did have curly.
He got the Dan Marino curls.
Yes, he did have the Dan Marino curls. Yeah. So there was something. The NBA Players Association offices are up in Harlem.
Oh.
And I went up that way. In fact, went to Red Rooster to eat first. And then there was something, I believe it was during a lockout.
Mm.
And this was in the heyday of when Chris and Kim were together.
Right. So she was in Dirty Jersey a lot.
And I believe they split at the time.
Mm.
And so I'm getting out of an Uber or whatever I was in, a car service. I get out. And there's people waiting at a bus stop, and they see me.
Hmm.
And I make eye contact, And right away, and I remember I wasn't on TV yet. I was.
But you were buff, though. You're buff and you're big. That's when you was in shape.
I was. I was a lot younger. And this guy, like all these people just start seeing me and waving. And I'm just like, hey, they're being nice. What's up? And then somebody finally says, Chris Humphries, how you going to lose a girl like him?
Yeah.
And I was like, did they think I'm Chris Humphries?
Yeah, it's the eyes, man, because both he had gray eyes. You got, like, the bluish husky eyes. So, like, you know, it's the eyes and it's the skin tone. Probably was, like, tan because you was feeling yourself back in the day. You was always out in the bottom of them streets. You know what Fair. I'm saying? So you was tan and you had the husky eyes and you 6'6". And what else would a guy –
I was feeling great.
Yeah, why else would anybody else be in Harlem? You know what I'm saying? That was white unless they were coming from Kim. Unless they like that brown sugar. You know what I'm saying?
It's just crazy, man. Anyways – I don't think I look like him, but I took it as a compliment. Anyhow, it is Spartan Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. It is hour number three of our show. And yes, Knicks fans, we're here for you. Just get it off your chest. We are here to commiserate with you. We're all frustrated, and I'm not pushing back. You want Fournier to start? Start him.
Oh, yeah.
You want to fire everybody?
Yeah, when it's over.
Fire them all.
When it's over, now
you
want to
trade somebody? Trade them. I'm not fighting you today. Get it off your chest. 800-919-3776. Bart Scott, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour. Heat five. Heat five.
I'm not ready for basketball season to be over.
Heat five.
I'm not ready.
Ah, oh, man. Everybody. All the suites open.
Ready?
All the suites open in the stadium tomorrow. All the suites. Who need a ticket? Who want a ticket?
You know who else isn't ready for basketball season in this city to end?
Who's that?
The baseball team.
They're like, man, hey, whoa, we're still working some stuff out. Knicks, can you get them to six?
Some concerns before we get into the Knicks calls and the conversation. Some concerns again. As I mentioned, this was a possibility, and now the reality is starting to set in here. SNY reporting that Max Scherzer, dealing with, quote, as yet unspecified physical issue, end quote, uncertain if he's going to make the scheduled start tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. This is Andy Martino reporting this, saying the issue isn't considered a major concern, and if he is indeed scratched from tonight, he'll be considered day-to-day. I told you already, David Peterson was with AAA, Syracuse, but he has been sent to Cincinnati just in case. Now, this is off the story from today's Post, where Scherzer said that he's been trying like hell to avoid an IL stint, dealing with some lingering soreness south of his scapula, Bart.
Yeah, that's where you throw. That's what DeGrom had not too long ago, last year. Yeah, underneath the scapula. You're like, you know, what do you need that? Well, that's the wind-up, man. And when you're reaching out, you throw. Yep. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. Like, when you throw, you got to think that lat stretches out.
Right.
And sometimes, we would go in, I'd be running late as usual to, like, my workouts. You know, with my trainer, it's a big group of us, all professional athletes. Well, actually, yeah, all professional athletes would be training for the season.
Yep.
And you go in there, you go jump in without warming up, and you feel like something pop underneath your scalp. And what happens is it leans on your lungs, like where you feel like you can't get a breath. And they always – the guys know when it happens. It's nothing you can really do about it. It's just going to be painful to work out, but it's hard to get a breath in. And they give you the crossball to try and roll out, but it does nothing. It takes about 3-4 days, sometimes a week, for that pain, that soreness to go away
brutal.
Underneath your scapula.
Absolutely brutal. So some concerns there. We'll keep an eye on it. Any official word before the end of our show – we'll certainly let you know, and obviously keep it right here on 98.7 ESPN with the Michael Kay Show coming up at 3 o'clock, and they, of course, will have all your coverage on baseball, the Knicks, and everything else. Before we get to the calls, though, let's just get into what happened last night. Is the Knicks at least, and I hate saying it like this, but because what we saw Saturday in Game 3, at the very least the Knicks competed in this game, Bart. At the very least they were in this game. And there were times in this game where you felt like, okay, momentum, let's go. See if they can make a push. Can they make a push? Well, every time they push, the Heat pushed back. The Knicks cut it to 2 in the third quarter. Come down, Heat hit a 3. The Knicks cut it to 3 in the third quarter. The Heat come down, hit a 3. The Knicks had it to 5 late in the third quarter. The Heat come down, they hit a 3. And then in the fourth quarter, when it was time to stop hitting threes, the Heat went cold. Good. They were missing shots, even better. But the Knicks couldn't get the defensive rebound. And it was offensive rebound after offensive rebound for the Heat, one after another, to a total of 7 in the fourth quarter. You remember Game 5 in Cleveland, where the Cavs fans were booing their team because the Knicks kept getting every offensive rebound and extra chances? That was happening here against the Knicks. So in the end, the Heat are playing the Knicks game better than the Knicks are. That's literally what's going on in this series amongst everything else, and now the Knicks are facing elimination. And one player that we called out yesterday to say, you better have a big game tonight, and that was Julius Randle. Didn't quite have a big game. He had a decent game. He did get to 20 points, but he really didn't give you that sense that it was get on my back, I'm going to carry us to a win. In fact, 15 seconds into the game, he drew an offensive foul. 15 seconds in, a careless offensive foul. He had 6 turnovers. 3 of them were because of offensive fouls. Great frustration again with Randle. And as I said early in the show, I'll say it again, Bart. With Julius Randle and the Atlanta series, it's fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's where we are right now. I just don't know if this is a guy that you can build with to win in the postseason as a main piece player. And on this team, that's what he is. Because when you need him at his best, he just never seems to be that in the postseason. And then he says this after a game where you are frustrated by the loss, where you know you're facing elimination, where your team just gets outplayed by the other team. And, of course, the questions are, how bad do you guys want it? And his response.
Maybe they want it more. I don't know. That's been who we are all year. And we got to find a way to, you know, step up and make those plays if we want to keep the season alive.
And if you hear that in the locker room, Bart, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, man, that's our leader, man. Like, first of all, speak for yourself, bro, because I'm out here giving it my all. Maybe you got a check engine light problem, but not me. But I guess what I hear you saying, Alan, is we got one or two choices with Julius Randle, because we're going to believe that, you know, the second time we've seen this, that it's more the reality, right? So what I'm going to say is, do you, A, and maybe our listeners can answer this for me, do you, A, go get a number one superstar, or B,
which is very hard to do,
or do you trade Julius Randle? What, he has one more year after this year left,
yeah,
on his deal?
He has a player option after next season.
Right, so this is a very favorable deal to a team that thinks that they're one player away and they need a big. Do you go that way, where you try and trade Julius Randle, or do you double down, or do you go get him a star and go try and do whatever you got to do for a Paul George or somebody like that?
I think I want to emphasize Jalen Brunson more as a piece, my main piece. And
but he has a ceiling too.
I just feel like the influence of Randle isn't one that is, you use the phrase, force multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
And I need my stars to be. I think Brunson is. Brunson is a culture guy. You could definitely see that. He's a guy that leads by example, says the right things after games. He just says that guy shows up when he had 32-11 last night. Now, has he had a great series? No. But they have been beating the crap out of him. But he keeps coming back for more. He's that guy. Even after the game, we just got to win one more game. We just got defiant to the end. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see. And I'm not getting that at Julius Randle, supposed to be my second most important player, if not 1A, 1B. And I'm just asking that question. Am I learning enough now from what I've seen out of him that is this the player that I'm going to build with going forward? Here's Stephen A. Smith. We had him on Get Up this morning, and Stephen A. is reaching the same point that I am.
I'm so disgusted with R.J. Barrett, little less than Julius Randle. I'm not disgusted with anybody more than I'm disgusted with Julius Randle. I'm on the verge of asking for him to be traded. I'm just disgusted. I think that this series is over. I think that the New York Knicks, orange and blue skies, it was a nice run. I'm very proud of Jalen Brunson and the kind of impact that he's had on the New York Knicks. As much as I respect and adore Tom Thibodeau and the coach that he is, I'm looking at the personnel that he didn't use and the people that he trusted and he relied upon, and how they haven't come through for him. Would have been nice to see him throw a twist in the mix, even throwing some of the bodies we haven't seen throughout the regular season into it, a la Evan Fournier or a Derrick Rose, even give somebody some help, because with what Julius Randle has been doing, I mean, you might as well try anything. I'm on the verge of coming on national television and asking for the man to be traded. The regular season is one thing, but the postseason, don't get me started with what he does in the postseason.
And that's really where you're judged. You say it all the time. Make your name in the regular season, you make your fame in the postseason. This is the second time now that we are seeing a guy who you rely so much on to carry you who doesn't get it done when it matters most. And with the contract situation, it's looming. It's not obviously in your face this summer, but it is after another year. Or is this franchise sure the right decision is to commit to him any longer beyond what you are committed to him at the age of 27? It's a serious question that you have to ask. The series not over yet, and he could change everybody's mind with a huge Wednesday and a huge Friday, of course. But we asked for it last night, and we didn't get it. So why should we believe we're going to get it now? We continue to wait.
Yeah,
that's the part that's frustrating to me, Bart.
And you either believe what you're saying or you're saying, hey, this player can be developed. I mean, he's 27 years old, but it seems like he's been in the league forever.
He has. He's been in the league since he's 19 years old.
Man, so, like, we have to believe that he is what he is, right? Like, it's I don't know how much more growth it can be.
Right. That's, again, the concern.
Is he Josh Smith? Like, Josh Smith never won nothing, but he was a talented player.
Josh Smith's a really good comp.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody remembers Josh Smith. Josh Smith, when he was with Atlanta, was big numbers and just, And they were a good team.
Josh was a baller, though. He was a nice little dude. But, like, wherever he went when he left Atlanta, he was just never that guy, man, because he reminds me a little bit. Give me a little Josh Smith vibes a little bit, man, with his attitude and stuff like that, man, his body language sometimes.
Mm. Is he not the same player, but is he John Wall? John Wall's a really, really good player.
I would say John Wall got hurt.
Yeah. So I guess that's not – I guess once the injuries happened to John Wall, his game really was impacted negatively. But I'm trying to think. I mean, look, how about this? Put him side by side. Julius Randle, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Man, Karl-Anthony Towns just gives me that old, lazy,
huge numbers – but, you know, like, again,
at least your three-point shooting would be better because he can shoot that three, baby. He'll open it up for you, baby.
Man, once in a while. All right, so 800-919.
He's three-point champion. Put some respect on his air up there.
Is the number. Let's take David in Riverdale. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Alan, I agree. You know, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. I'm at that point with Julius Randle. 7-7 game in the first quarter. Grimes turns the ball over. Julius is at the logo at half court. It took the Heat 8 seconds to score because they missed a layup or two.
Yep.
They didn't score right away. Julius didn't even get past three-point line.
That's right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Your best players have to be your hardest workers. Yes.
It's as close to a must-win as you could possibly have. Yep. And then to hear this guy saying that they want it more than us, none of these guys have won before. How could they possibly want it more than you? Like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on here? It's just so absurd. It's just so lackadaisical. It's just – it's mind-boggling. It's inexcusable.
All of those things, David. And here's the problem. And this is where, like, you hesitate. I don't think Julius recognizes this. Like we all see it. I don't know if he sees it. So you could say, is he being lazy? Like, he's just – nobody at this level is purposely being lazy. I don't think he realizes it. Like, I don't think it's in his brain. Like, we're watching going, dude, where are you? Get down the floor. Run. Why are you standing there? In his head, I don't think he realizes it. I don't think – and that, to me, is a greater concern. I'd rather it be like he's just being lazy. And in some games, he'll play harder. I don't think he even realizes it, which to me is a way bigger concern, that he doesn't recognize in the moment that you need to not stand and watch, that you need to get your ass down the floor. That's the part that when we talk about basketball IQ, the feel for the game, like how Jimmy Butler just has this natural ability to know that on one leg, I could still get 28. Because I know little ways that I could score. Like, smart veteran players who've been around the league long enough who just understand I can get a bucket. Like, I know I can get a bucket. Just using my brain, I can get a bucket. I can manipulate the game to my advantage and get a couple of points when I need them. And I don't think he's got that. I'm talking about Randle. I just don't think he's got it. And that's when you start asking yourself, building blocks to something. What pieces do you have on this team that are building blocks? Brunson is certainly one of them. I do believe Josh Hart is one as well. We can go down the list of different pieces and how they fit. But is Randle at what you're paying him? At how much he gets the ball and touches the ball and needs the basketball? How much usage that he has? is he that piece?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Open up Definitely the lines, Alan. I want to hear from the peoples.
We got the peoples coming.
You got something to say?
Let's hear from Max Strus here. This is interesting. So remember, it was Strus who essentially flopped. He threw his feet up in the air and drew an offensive foul. The third one called on Randall in the game. And there's a reason why with 3 minutes to go, Randall fouled out of the game. As Randall was driving to the basket, Strus, like I said, drew the offensive charge, so he was asked if he knew that would have been the sixth foul on Randall.
Julius Randle had five fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Was that on purpose on your part to try to get him to foul out in that
Absolutely.
Moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you flop? Yes, I did. And I'd do it again. I mean, They just know. They know. Well aware. This guy's going to put his head down and drive. You know, bull in a china shop. You just got to take the charges. You got to be willing to do it. He was willing to do it, and he got him out of the game. 800-919-3776 is the number. Frank is in New Rochelle. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys? I kind of disagree. I think without Randall, they lose 50 games this year. 25-10.
It's true.
Nobody puts those numbers up.
You're not wrong.
Hey, nobody says, he's a beast on a regular season.
You're not wrong.
And had 20-8. I'm 20-6 last night. I mean, 20-8, 20 points, 8 rebounds. I mean,
is that what you want out of your All-Star in a big game in the playoffs? Is 20-8? That's good enough for you?
He just didn't make winning plays.
I mean, you know, if you ask most Knicks fans, Brunson and Randall combined, if you get 50 plus points, which they did, 52 combined, then you should be successful. Where are the other guys? Why does it always have to go on Randall?
Because he's the guy.
Well, the bench. Look, Frank's right. The bench is getting thoroughly outplayed, and you got once again got nothing off your bench.
Well, no quickly there, but
and
listen,
that's a problem. But with that in mind, I need more out of my main guys. And out of the three, even Barrett scored more than Julius Randle. Julius, by the way, only took 13 shots in this game.
But Frank, so that means that you're not trying to do what you got to do. But Frank, we're watching the playoffs where we're watching AD and LeBron go off. We're watching Booker. We're watching Booker and Durant go off.
We can we admit, guys, that Martin, Vincent, Sturz, and Love are all just better shooters than anything we got. Like Love, the management, Love had a chance to go to the Knicks. He was released by Cleveland.
Well, Love hasn't shot the ball well, actually. Yeah, he hasn't really shot the ball well.
They have shooters. We don't have shooters.
Strus is shooting the ball really well.
Quigley, and Quigley's awful. Quigley's been awful the whole playoffs.
He has not been good in the playoffs.
They got better perimeter guys.
They are playing the Knicks game better than the Knicks are. It's reality. But as I said, Bart said it. When you look around the playoffs, you're always going to get supporting cast players that give you big games here and there. But look at these series. Watch tonight. Tonight will be about Harden and Embiid. It'd be nice if Maxey does something,
yep.
or you know, somebody else off that. Like someone else could do something, right?
Yeah.
Yang or somebody could have a nice game where they hit, you know, four threes. That's great. But in
Lonnie
the end.
Walker.
Embiid and Harden probably have to combine for 60 points tonight.
And if they
want to win.
And if they lose, they're not going to say Maxey didn't show up.
Right.
It's going to go on the two best players.
Exactly.
And if Julius Randle is who you – if that's the case, don't be their best player. Be the third player.
So I just think, again, it's fair when you're watching it. Don't look at the box score. You got to watch it and you'll see it. The lack of intensity and effort in getting back defensively, in just trying to make plays defensively – in transition. Those are the things that, to me, become demoralizing.
He didn't pass half court. You said it, Alan. energy. You said he didn't pass half court.
Yeah, there were a couple.
What kind of leadership is that?
Right.
The closeout when he gets a blow by and dude get yam on everybody.
Yeah.
What type of winning plays is that?
It's not.
It ain't about how many points you have. It's about winning plays. You can have a horrible game and show up in the fourth quarter and make winning plays. It don't even have to be about the points. It could be about the rebound, facilitating when stuff ain't dropping. Can you do that? Like, that's what leaders, that's what champions do. It ain't never everybody's game every night. But when it ain't your game and ain't your night, how can you affect winning without scoring? Don't give me, because I can show you some empty stats of people putting up points. Don't mean nothing. Making sure that you go get a rebound where all three of us could have got, but they just let you get it because they know you thirsty for the stat. Like, come on, man.
Preach.
Stop it.
Preach. James, Taconic. James.
We ain't blaming Tobias Harris either if Philly gets blown up.
Yeah, no.
And he make a big crap load of money.
Yep. Go ahead, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Randall seems to remind me a little bit of Zach Randolph without the confidence. Randolph was never afraid to shoot, and it seems like Randall's so hesitant around the perimeter now. He just doesn't have that killer instinct on him.
Doesn't have the confidence. You can see it. It comes and goes with him, and that's, you know, that's another part of what we talk about. It's knowing that even on your worst night, I can still, like, I can craft myself points. Like, I can manipulate the game to my advantage.
Yeah, I can get to
watch
free
Jimmy
throw
Butler. Line. Jimmy Butler does it. Like, the best players do it. This is
this is about the fact that this is
and that's why I said building block piece. You can start. We can pick apart the bench and all that other stuff, but I'm talking about a building block piece for a team that you're trying to eventually build into a championship caliber team. You'd like to one day. It'd be nice if we could get there, right? And you watch Brunson play, and in your heart of hearts, you kind of know, like, all right, he's made of the right kind of stuff. Josh Hart's made of the right kind of stuff. You know, is Randall, does he fit into that? When you watch him play, don't watch him at his best. Watch him at his worst. Does he fit into that? And I think it's a fair question that we asked 2 years ago, and then we kind of waited it out. Last year was an awful year, as we know. He survived it. He came back from it, and he had an all-star year again this year, which is great. But we once again got to the postseason, and we once again saw it, and we're once again asking that question. It's a very fair question to
listen,
ask.
And if we're going to make moves, you're not going to win the trade. It's not going to be one of these trades where you feel like you feel good. You're going to have to give up something, and you may have to take a risk on somebody. But taking a risk and getting something that you don't know what the end result is going to be, other than, you know, staying with Julius Randle and knowing what you're going to get from him in the postseason, I mean, you have to consider. Everything's on the table. Paul George, you give up, you know, R.J. Barrett in quickly form. Like, you know, what do you do? Or do you give up Randle in quickly form? Whatever. Like, figure out what you got to do.
I think everything's on the table, but it's also – and we'll get there when season is officially over, but it's a very delicate place to be.
Lonzo Ball.
No, you don't need a point guard. It's a very delicate place to be where they are right now because you got to the second round.
Zach LaVine?
You're a team that, you know, is obviously a winning team with a winning record.
Yeah.
One false move can set this whole thing off course the wrong way. Michael in Plainfield. Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, Bart Hahn. How you guys doing?
All right.
So, listen, I'm going to give 60-40 blame on that game, particularly last night, to Thibodeau, 60. Thibodeau's a solid coach. We know that, but to take from the Godfather, he's not a wartime consigliere. He panics too quick. And what I mean is, if you look at Julius Randle, and I'm going to defend him just to a degree, because the man, from my eyesight, he's playing at about 70-75% of his health.
Fair.
So even on that blow-by, when your ankle is that bad, you might be able to run forward, but you can't plant and go back the other way. He can't do that. Grimes is not healthy. So for him, for Thibodeau to play Obi Toppin about 6 minutes, knowing that this was going to be a grind-out game. If you look at, we was in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go, we was down six. We was down six but could not get a rebound because Grimes is hobbled. He didn't play McBride. Julius is hobbled. He didn't play Obi. So my point is, again, is that Thibodeau, fine coach, but he's not a wartime consigliere. That's my comment.
I mean, he
was the A side, definitely the A side in the first series. I don't know. Right. I think Spoelstra is the A side in this second series.
And you could also argue the Spoelstra getting out of his team almost the maximum that he needs to get, while is Tibbs getting out of his team the maximum. Spoelstra's team, remember, let's not forget, did get to a conference finals last year with this core. I mean, they know what to do. They've been there before. They've been through the rounds. This season for them was an abomination of injuries and all kinds of other issues that they had. But when they got right, which is at the right time, they all know how to play and they know what they're supposed to do. The Knicks are a fairly young roster for the most part, and then they've got a couple of veteran pieces that really, other than Brunson, haven't been anywhere, have not really been anywhere in the postseason. So is this a learning experience? And you are not just learning as a player, but you're learning about players as you're assessing this whole thing. All right, we'll finish up with calls. I love it, though. The passion's been great today, everybody. And I just know how it is when we are in this city. When one of our teams loses and we're getting frustrated, we go to this place, and we all need to talk about it, and that's why we're here for you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We have our answer as to how the Yankees are going to adjust the roster with the return of Aaron Judge tonight against Oakland. As his 10-day IL stint is over, he is now officially back on the team. The Yankees went 4-6 without him. We thought maybe Aaron Hicks, it would finally give him an excuse to move on from Aaron Hicks, but Hicksy is starting to hit. Had a home run last night, and maybe that saved him. Maybe it did. Maybe also Oswald Peraza's injury has also helped, because they decided to put him on a 10-day, and that's how this all works out. So Aaron Hicks lives to wear pinstripes again, and all of Yankee universe is rejoicing. I know you are, Yankee fans. You don't have to tell me. I know. Max Scherzer, his start, still uncertain about what's going to happen with him as he is dealing with some stuff. There is a belief that he might not make the start tonight in Cincinnati. David Peterson is there from Syracuse just in case. So there'll be more news on that. And, of course, that's why you keep it right here on 98.7 ESPN. The Michael Kay Show will have all of that information and news for you. No need to change the channel. Tonight, though, Bart, aside from the baseball, we do have some hoops. The Sixers and the Celtics in Boston. That's the first game on TNT. The second one is the Suns and the Nuggets. Do you think the owner of the Suns getting involved with Jokic the way he did was something that I felt like at least it put some sizzle into the series, because it was otherwise
too nice.
Kind of like, yeah, like, and then not a lot of defense. Booker's been phenomenal. But this now creates a little bit of animosity. You had a lot of players. You had Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, saying a lot of stuff about it and the fact that Jokic got a tech and then he got fined. Do you get this sense that, all right, this game in Denver might have a little extra heat to it? And it's obviously a pivotal game now. It's a game five. Yeah. The series tied at two.
Trying to wait to see when the hell Ayton going to say, listen, I'm quit letting this dude put 40 and 50 on me. I mean, damn, at least hard foul him, man. Come on. What the hell are we doing? Yeah. Like, and then you can't double him. Like, man, if Ayton ain't hitting this little 18-foot shot, man, I might have to go small. I'd rather put a small dude underneath him and get underneath him. Tell you the truth, look like Booker was checking him better than damn Ayton. Like, I mean, come on, man. What, you 7 foot complain about all this money, man? This dude is taking you. He getting whatever he wants.
Yeah. Well, Jokic's been doing that to everybody in the league.
He don't do that to Anthony Davis.
Well, you'd like to see that, wouldn't you?
No. I want to see LeBron LeBrickbrick go against his kryptonite, KD. He can't clap his hands and say, I got him. He don't want that life. He'd be like, you get him, I'll help.
I almost feel like that's where we are right now, is that I should have said this morning on Get Up. This series, the Nuggets Sun series, has suddenly become a selfish series for us basketball fans. Because you're going to have
– nobody would see Denver.
Well, you're going to have all the Jokic, you know, fans and the apologists and all that stuff who are going to root for the Nuggets because it's their time. And then the rest of us are going to go, man, I'm all about star power. Give me KD LeBron in the conference finals, because this LeBron story would be something. Gets through Steph Curry, gets through Kevin Durant, and gets to the finals.
Yep. And then you know what? KD can't go play for Golden State next year.
Maybe he goes to play for the Lakers instead. No, but it's very, very interesting games tonight. And then how about, can James Harden lead the way in Boston? Can you get another performance out of big game James.
But you know what's funny?
And is Boston ever going to get its head out of its you-know-what?
Yeah. But you know what? You know what's funny?
And start playing like we saw them last year. Yeah,
you know what's funny, man? James Harden's going to be a free agent. And if he's able to lead this team to the finals or even a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, him as a Knick?
Nah.
Listen, okay, I know
they're
you
not
hate
paying him.
Him.
Not,
I know you hate
not,
him.
You're not doing it's the Rockets or he's going to re-sign with Philly. That's the two situations that are at play. And if you're
just
Philly,
said, you just said you need a star. You just told me you need a star. James
that's
Harden.
That's not the guy. You need a wing. You need a 3-and-D wing. The Knicks need a 3-and-D wing. That's what they need. James Harden is a ball-dominant guard, and you're going to put him with Jalen Brunson?
Hold on. He don't have to be. He can be a shooting guard.
No. That's not who he is. Come on. Look what he's become.
I'm just looking for a damn star.
You're just looking for stars. I get it, but it's got to be the right star.
Man.
It's got to be the right star.
James Harden can adapt, but
okay.
I got you.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. You know what? Tom Brady wants to come out of retirement. The Jets should bring him in. You know, Aaron Rodgers will learn how to adapt, right?
Whoa. Jalen Brunson is no damn Aaron Rodgers.
But I'm saying position-wise, it's the same kind of thing.
All right, I'm just saying.
That's all I'm talking about, okay?
Kyrie.
But we're all being selfish. If we're all being selfish, we want Kevin Durant and LeBron. That's what we want. A nice story would be the Denver Nuggets getting there, but
– I mean, I want Golden State to come back from 3-1 and give LeBron back a dose of his own medicine from the calf days when he came back and Draymond got kicked out. That's what I really want. I think they definitely going to push it to 5. And then they push it to 5. We talking about, the Knicks, if they win in here, then they go back there. No, we saying the same. We should be saying that about Golden State because that's probably the more likely – scenario if we're talking about somebody coming down from 3-1.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to play that game. Let's see if we can sneak a couple more calls in here at the end. 800-919-3776. Xavier in Brooklyn's been waiting a while. Xavier, make it worth my while.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
All right.
First I want to, apologize to my tenants because, I couldn't stop screaming last night at the TV and I broke it on top of that. So I'm sorry, guys. I really, maybe they'll probably –
Invoice tips.
Right,
but
exactly.
I got 2 points, man. And I honestly, why is our coach so doesn't have confidence in our bench? You got guys, coaches, like the coach of the Lakers, or you got even like Spoelstra, who's playing their bench, and look what it's got them.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Reeves. You got Cody Zeller. Even Kyle Lowry. In the regular season, he wasn't doing that good. And yes, they were hurt, but it's like Thibodeau, they're hesitant. And they don't know what to – they know if they mess up, they're out. Obi Toppin and Deuce McBride combined not even 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you got IQ out? Come on, man. And you got the only two other guys that play –
trust.
Hey, Zay, the crazy thing is, Zay, they're still only down by 6. If they win, then he does a great job, and it was a great job.
It's a good question, 22. Though. Look, when you're looking around the league and you're seeing – players come off the bench and have big performances, and then you look at your team and you're saying, well, where's our guys? Well, it was Josh Hart for several games when he was coming off the bench. He became a starter. Isaiah Hartenstein at times has played really well. Obi had one game in this series, and he took a ton of threes. That's because Randall was out. But the coach is always going to defer to his main pieces, his main players. He's always going to do that. As I said, I'm not pushing back. I think everything in the complaint department is open because of what you've seen over this weekend. Saturday's performance or lackluster performance, and then last night just not having enough again to make that push because even early in the game, you didn't have enough guys hustling.
Fournier, boom, bye, yeah.
And now Bart wants Evan Fournier to save the season.
Fournier, boom, bye, yeah.
K-Show is next,
boom,
everybody.
Bye, yeah.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Splash.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.